Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This is the God of Miracles, session 19, Miracles of Healing. And I am so excited about this message, about the subject of healing in the Bible and the way that it works in our lives to see the Holy Spirit move in power in the area of healing. And I want to give us, before we jump into stories and everything else, I want to give us a good foundation of what the scriptures say related to physical healing. Now, there's lots of different types of healing. I'm just going to kind of mostly focus on physical healing today because this isn't really a teaching on healing. It's more of a pep talk to get you to go and believe it. Which is really this whole series has mostly been that. A little bit of teaching, but mostly a pep talk. And to believe that God works miracles today and that we can experience them and we can engage in the kingdom and see God do profound things. So I want to talk about the healing ministry of Jesus. And we think about people having a ministry, you know, a lot of times people, if they've got a ministry, they name the website, their first name, their last name, .org. You know, it's like so-and-so's ministry. You know, we think about people having ministries. Jesus had ministries going. He had a healing ministry, actually. Jesus was a traveling evangelist with a healing ministry. And I want us to kind of think about that for a second, because the one that we say is the lamb slain, the one that we believe in as our salvation, the one that has given us everything, life and godliness, he was a healing evangelist. He was a traveling healing man. I mean, this is something profound that we need to get rooted into us. The healing ministry of Jesus. I want to just start real quick with Psalm 103. And this is David talking about the nature of God, talking about where healing comes from, how healing works in a sense. Psalm 103, this is David. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your sins and heals all your diseases." This is David giving himself a pep talk. And David saying, soul, internal David, don't you forget the countless benefits of being a saved person, the countless benefits of being a follower of the one true God. Don't you forget, soul, that God can just as easily heal you as forgive you. Now, we all bank on the forgiveness thing. I mean, we believe the forgiveness thing. There's not a one of you that would think that if you prayed for God to forgive you, that God might be like in a grudge mood and not forgive you. If any of us that, you know a little bit about the word, if you are struggling with that, that's a serious deal. Talk to somebody and get some teaching, get some clarity from the word. Because if you ask for forgiveness, you ask for that, he will forgive every one of your sins. But we get hung up on this idea that he might not be willing to heal. But David throws the two in there together, one after another, like it's just normal God stuff to do this. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and don't forget the benefits of being one who belongs to God. God forgives and he heals all your diseases. This is about him. It's about his power. It's the nature of God, and it's him that we look to for healing. And this is what Jesus was doing in his healing ministry. He was looking to God. And it was the reason that Jesus could just as easily say to someone, your sins are forgiven, as he could say, you're healed. He could say either because he was banking on the source. He wasn't even banking on how cool or bad the person was. He was banking on the source of forgiveness and healing. It's from the Father. I love this verse in Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17 says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, the reason I like this is it takes all the pressure off of you and how spiritual or unspiritual you are. It's the power and the presence of God that brings healing to another person. You're not going to get somebody healed because you're in a good mood or a bad mood. You're not going to see somebody be healed because you were, you know, so spiritual or unspiritual. It's about the presence and the power of God. That's what this whole series is about. Us tapping into the power of God, believing that God has power. Father, I ask you right now to remove veils from eyes. I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch spirits right now, that you would engage every member in this room and everyone watching online with your presence, God, to touch us to believe for healing power in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come right now. Fall in the room. Fall in the room right now. Begin to speak to us. Engage our hearts that we would begin to believe you for healing power in Jesus' name. We're looking right now at what the word says. It's the power of the Lord that heals a person. So what we need to do is we need to get out of our headspace and we need to engage the power of the Lord. We need to be looking for the power of the Lord, figuring out even what does that term mean? The power of the Lord was present to heal. As though there are going to be even times that the power of the Lord wasn't present to heal. What do you do then? We want to be leaning into the power of God, believing him, trusting him for his power to do the healing in the person. Jesus, as a result, did a lot of healing miracles. A lot. I'm going to read you one verse, but this same verse, the message of this verse, the point of this verse can be found over and over and over in the ministry of Jesus. Here's Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He had a teaching ministry, proclaiming the good news. That's an evangelistic ministry. And healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus had a healing ministry where there were times where he would heal every sickness and disease that was within, you know, eyeshot. Every single one. Hey, I got headaches. Hey, I got a little sty in my eye. Hey, I got, you know, weird thing in my shoulder. Hey, I got this weird disease nobody's even been able to diagnose yet. I got this. I got this. Jesus is like, be healed. You healed. You healed. And he's walking around. There were times where he would walk into a city or a town and 100% of the people would get healed. And listen, without modern medicine, without modern, you know, even sanitation, without all that modern stuff, you better believe when Jesus walked into a town, there was a whole lot of folk who needed healing with all kinds of funky, okay? Stuff growing on them and growing in them and growing out of them, okay? And Jesus would walk into a town and 100% of the people would get healed. This is our Jesus. This is the one that we call friend and savior and Lord. There's not a different God. There's not a different version. This is the man we worship. This man had a profound healing ministry. It was what he did on a daily basis. Well, there's really good news. Jesus commissioned us to operate in his healing ministry. It's not just Jesus. He commissioned us to do the same. I love this part of the kingdom. I love it. Let's put up that verse in Matthew 10, 1 through 8. You guys probably know the verse. He told his disciples to heal. He said, hey, you know the thing I've been doing? I've been doing kind of effortlessly. You see me everywhere I go. I'm healing people and seeing all the sicknesses and diseases go away. He said, yeah, you guys go do the same thing. Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. There it is again. Every disease and sickness. He gave them authority to do so. Proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely go give. He says there's something profound about the ministry of healing and its innate way to communicate the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because if you just think about it, if the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, all measures of sickness and disease are little efforts of him chiseling away at health, healing, strength. Kill, steal, and destroy. What a profound societal systemic problem sickness and disease is. It's profound. It's everywhere. It's the enemy chipping away at life and health and strength. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. There is maybe nothing so profound as the kingdom of heaven expressing itself through healing of the human body. It is a profound aspect of the kingdom of God. It's not supposed to be something that happens once every now and then. It's the kingdom of light breaking forth against the kingdom of darkness. Wherever there is sickness and disease, the Holy Spirit can move in healing and bring that light in a dark room. I think we've just gotten so used to dark rooms, we don't even challenge it anymore. We need to challenge the darkness. And I'm telling you, sickness and disease is darkness. It's darkness, and we have the light in the name of Jesus to bring about healing and restoration, to bring life and freedom and health. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And you can't have it to the full with a disease, because whatever that disease does limits you to some degree, okay? So what did the New Testament church do? Well, I love all the examples. You know, I'm so pained because there are like 30 examples I'd love to give this morning. So just go read your Bibles and read all the healing stories, okay? And then I'll pretend that you did that and then I'll feel better, okay? But I'm just going to read one of them this morning. It's the story of how God goes and gets one of the hardest-hearted men to turn his heart back to God so that God could use him as an instrument for his purposes. The Pharisee Saul becoming the apostle Paul. You guys remember the story? Here it's Acts 22. That can't be right. Acts 22. I don't know what verse that's supposed to be, but it is not Acts 22. So, brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Oh no, this is Paul recalling the story. That's what it is. Yeah, so it is in Acts 22. So I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one, to hear the words of his mouth. You will be his witness to all people and you and of what you have seen and heard. This is now Paul recounting what happened to him and the way that he came into the kingdom as a hard-hearted Pharisee against Christians. I love that the way that God went about getting that hard-hearted man to wind up becoming an ambassador for him, wind up becoming a minister of healing, was to bring a moment of healing. And check this out. He wasn't blind a minute ago. God blinded him so God could heal him. I mean, that is really intense when you're like, see, blind, I'm blind. Oh my gosh, I'm blind. You know there is something really wrong, and God jumps in and says, actually, I'm the one that did that. Let's have a conversation. I am the God who heals. He says, yeah, I know you are. Yeah, but my name is Jesus. My name is Jesus, and I am the God who heals. And that's where Paul, then Saul, had to deal with some things in his soul because he was convinced that Jesus was a made-up thing, that he was not a legitimate ambassador of God, and he for sure wasn't the Son of God. But it was in the name of Jesus that Saul got his sight back. And that's exactly what happens in this generation. That's how the New Testament church operated. They were bringing sight, both spiritual and physical, to those that could not see God. Healing brings people into the revelation of God's reality. When it's you, and you know your angst, problem, disease, issue, and Jesus heals you, you know it was him. And it brings about a new thought process. You're like, well, you know what? Whatever I was thinking before, I was wrong and possibly dumb. God is real. This is what the New Testament church used, the power of healing to turn the hearts and minds of even the hardest hearts. The power of healing is profound. Acts 4:30 says this. It's just a normal day for the New Testament church. I think that this should start to become more of a normal day for this New Testament church. It says this in Acts 4:30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then they went out and they healed everybody. We want to start engaging God and asking him to stretch out his hand and to heal and perform other miracles as well. In the name of Jesus, through our lives, through our ministry, through our families, through our interactions, through our gatherings, through the person at the grocery store that you see. We want to ask God. We want to engage him. You see, that's the key. The believers here in Acts 4, they were already experiencing God to a significant degree, but they were praying for more. They were engaging the kingdom to get more out of God. And God's willing to do it. God's actually the one that gave them this idea, this desire to pray. So we're not asking God for anything he's unwilling to give. Jesus had a healing ministry. He wants us to have healing ministries. He wants for us to be able to operate in power. And so we want to get this concept deep in our soul. God, we engage you. Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders in our midst through the name of Jesus. We want to start living lives that way, expectant. You know what they expected when they prayed that? They expected God to do exactly what it is they were asking. They weren't double-minded. They didn't come. I don't know if God's going to do this or not. They were engaging God to be God. They were engaging Jesus to just keep doing the healing ministry. Just do it from upstairs. Do it through our hands. Is to continue the healing ministry of Jesus. It's all about him. It's not your healing ministry. It's his healing ministry through you. It's his name. It's his glory. It's his kingdom. And this is one of the ways that the kingdom of God advances, is when the ministry of healing goes forth through weak and broken you, weak and broken people. The kingdom of heaven advances. Give us just a couple more points on this, and then I'll share some stories. And I'm going to share stories from the early days for me. I mean, again, in this series, my hope is to just paint such a picture of what being even young in your faith. You don't have to be old in your faith. You can be, but you don't have to be. It's not about, you can't see God do certain things until you've hit year 5 or 10 or 25. That's crazy. And so I'm going to share stories from year 1, 2, 3, 4. But I want to give you a little bit more on this doctrine of healing, because I think it's powerful that we would understand the premise here. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says this. It's talking about Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. We believe that. We believe that Jesus was put on the cross because we're sinners and we needed forgiveness. But in the same line, it says he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. It is by his being pierced, it's by his wounds that we receive forgiveness of our transgressions. It's by those same wounds we receive healing. Healing and forgiveness. It's the same thing we were reading earlier. Now we're looking at Isaiah talking about the coming of the Messiah, and what would be the case with the coming of the Messiah is that by his wounds we receive healing. How does this work? How does this whole healing thing work? It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's not about your education. It's not about any of that. In fact, some of those things can get in the way. When we start to lean on our own abilities and capacities, we actually cut out the power source. It's like as soon as we start leaning on ourselves, we unplug the device. We just pulled it right out of the outlet. We plug in by leaning into him. Healing is all about Jesus and his wounds. When we look at a sickness or a disease and seeing God heal it, it's not about you or how spiritual you're feeling. It's about the fact that Jesus died on the cross to forgive sins and to heal diseases. He did both. It was both. I mean, do you see it? It's in the same passage. It's talking about forgiveness of sins. That's where we need to start getting our understanding. We believe in Jesus who died and forgives sins. We need to believe in Jesus who died to get you healed. It's the same Jesus. It's by his name. It's another very important detail. Acts 9:33. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived, Lydia and Sharon, saw him and they turned to the Lord. Did you catch that? Healing brought a whole town to Jesus. This time it was just one. It was one profound healing of somebody that everybody knew. That guy can't walk. And Peter comes in and says, in the name of Jesus, It's about Jesus. It's about his glory. It's about who he is. And as a result, the resulting impact on that town was everybody went, well, then I guess Jesus is real. That's what's supposed to happen. I mean, Aeneas is having a party for a long time after that. He is elated. He's excited. You just know he is the guy that you can't take the smile off his face no matter what. But the whole town gives their life to Jesus because healing is a profound declaration of the kingdom of God and the reality of Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Son of God. When healing takes place, it makes profound impact because we have such a spirit of unbelief, even within the church. There's such a spirit of unbelief. And so when God breaks in with healing, it causes minds to open up. It causes hearts to be more receptive to the things of God. And that's part of the point. So it's by the name of Jesus. It's also by faith. James 5:15. You guys know this verse. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. The prayer offered in faith. We know enough about faith to know that it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to operate in the kingdom that is entirely about engaging an invisible God. I've never seen God with my eyes. I know he is real, but I don't know he is real because I've seen him with my eyesies. I know that he is real by faith. And everything in the kingdom comes by faith. The fact that we would believe this is a worthwhile book to read parts of it and then talk about preaching, that's faith. Hey, that old book, why'd you pick that one instead of, you know, an atlas to preach out of, or, you know, an encyclopedia, or, you know, a history book? Why did you pick this one? Because by faith, we believe this is the word of God. The only way the kingdom of God operates at every level is with the engagement of faith. We've got to actually believe it. And let me tell you where faith comes from: by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and believing it's true. It's true when my emotions say it's not. It's true when my friends say it's not. It's true when my culture says it's not. The Bible is true, and everything else is a liar, liar, pants on fire. The Bible is true. And I want to tell you, this is one of the most profound gifts that you can take from today's message that you can have in life. The Bible is true when it looks like it can't be. The Bible is true when my emotions say there's no way. When my experience says no way. When my culture says false. The Bible is true. And everybody else is liar, liar, pants on fire. Now, if you get that deep in you, you will be safe and you will be set for the purposes of God. You might well look like a fool a few times. I would way rather look like a fool to you and get a praise from God than the flip-flop. Not only that, not even just about a who's right and who's wrong. I'd rather live the way God wanted me to live than be accepted in this life and things work out the way in this life that they do. I want to walk according to truth. And the way that we do that is by faith. And here's how it works. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Meaning a prayer offered without faith won't. We've got to engage faith. And again, that faith comes not because you're awesome, but because you believe in the one who wrote this book and you believe its words. I'll give you a real simple reality. Do you believe that verse? Because if you don't, you can't pray it and expect it to work. You got to believe that verse and the 700 others that are just like it. You've got to believe what the word says and then operate like it's true and real. By pressing in, we have access to unlimited power, but the Lord does want us to engage him to see those things happen. Now, I'm going to share with you some stories. These are just early stories. I'll give you a little bit of the context on them because I think it makes it more fun to tell. And the context, I think, might even help stack some of the circumstances against me in the situations to help give you faith to believe for your circumstances. I came to know the Lord in 1999. I was an atheist before that. And I started reading the Bible, and I started reading passages like the faith or the prayer offered in faith makes a sick person well. And I was like, well, I believe John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his son. I believe that verse. Why don't I believe James? I said, I do believe James. I want to believe it. Well, I'd been saved for just a couple of months, and I was in a Bible study. I went to the University of North Texas after my senior year of high school. Went to UNT, and I was in a Bible study that is the most hyper-conservative environment I've ever been in my life. Okay, it was of a ministry of a church in that area that is like uber conservative, believes that the gifts of the Spirit are long gone. God doesn't speak, God doesn't heal, God doesn't do miracles. For sure God doesn't. And they've got 20 degrees to be able to argue you out of why God doesn't do any of those things. Thankfully, good for me, I was too young in the Lord to know I was in that environment. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they were kind of a little rough around the edges, but it didn't make any sense to me. So I was like, I just went in, I just believe the Bible, right? I'm going to this Bible study. And we're in the middle of a Bible study. And again, this is like the most conservative environment ever. And there's about 8 or 10 of us guys, we'd get together every week. And every single one of the guys in this group believes for sure God doesn't do miracles anymore. They are positive, and they've got doctrinal degrees to back them up, okay? It's all wrong, but anyway. We're in this Bible study, and all of a sudden, one of the guys, and I like this guy, all of a sudden, one of the guys starts, he started, like, being quiet and sad or whatever. And so it was obvious, and the leader of the group said, hey, dude, you know what's wrong? He goes, oh, man, I just got a headache. Sometimes I get these. And I said, well, dude, let's pray for you right now. And everybody in the room went, pray for him for what? And I was like, well, for his headache to go away. Like, God doesn't do that. Oh, yeah, sure, let's do it right now. I go, in Jesus' name, Lord, heal this guy's headache. Let it go away. In Jesus' name, amen. And immediately his eyes opened up, and he, like, sat back in his chair. And he goes, oh, my gosh. And everybody goes, what? He goes, my headache just went away the second he prayed that. And everybody went, and the leader goes, oh, well, you know, I mean, it could have been, you know, that you just, it was time for, you know, he was like, you know, you headaches do go away eventually. It was probably that moment. He's like, no, dude, this just happened. Now, this guy's a believer now. He believes in healing in 1 second because it was him. It was his headache, okay? And he was like, no, no, no. It was getting worse and worse. As soon as he said in Jesus' name, the headache went away. And now the whole Bible study is havoc. The whole Bible study is hijacked, and the leader's like, no, because healing doesn't exist because of this and this. And I'm like, I'm the new guy. I'm so young and dumb. I'm like, no, he did it. Like, he just did it. We watched it. We all watched it. And a couple of guys are like, well, we did just watch it. And the leader of the group's trying to get the reins back, and he's going, no, God doesn't do healing anymore. And then I'm pulling up Bible verses. I'm like, well, Jesus walked around and did healing ministries. And everybody goes, yeah, man, maybe God does heal today. And I'm like, he just healed the dude in front of you. Yes, he does healing today. It was the wildest thing. I got asked to leave that group. But man, we had a great run for a minute there. So the church that I was that I got saved in was also a very conservative church. Nearly as conservative as that environment. Nearly. But there was one aspect of this church that I just loved. They had a heart for missions. Oh, man. I went to Mexico on 3 different mission trips the first year I got saved. I went 3 times and got to see God do all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. And so as a result of being those that were really, the college group, college and career group, was really pressing into missions in Mexico specifically. And the leader of the college and career group was kind of this wild guy. He was just fun. And he had kind of like an assistant leader or whatever, whose name was Jose. And Jose was just the most like laid back, faithful, you know, probably never committed a sin in his life kind of guy. I'm sure that's not real, but he was just such a stable dude. And he's telling us one day in our college group, he's saying, hey, you know, guys, I'm going into surgery on whatever, it was a Sunday. He's like, I'm going into surgery this week, maybe on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or something. He goes, you know, pray that my recovery time, you know, would be quick, that, you know, my body would, you know, regenerate quickly or whatever. And I go, no. I stood up, and he's like, there's like maybe 20 young adults in the room. You go, what do you mean? I go, let's pray for the ulcers to go away. He's got ulcers. He's about to have surgery. That's pretty bad, when you've got ulcers in your stomach enough that they're going to do invasive surgery and like get rid of your ulcers, that's a bad situation. That's not awesome. And I was like, let's pray right now for his ulcers to go away. And everybody, at this point, this dude is broken. He's like, man, I've been in so much pain. He's like, you know what? Sure. Why don't you pray? And now they're looking to me like I'm the expert. I've been saved for all of 5 months, okay? And I'm the expert here. And so they're like, okay, well, Brad, you know, pray or whatever. And I go, okay. I go, in Jesus' name, Lord, heal up these ulcers. Let Jose go in for the doctor's appointment Monday morning or whatever it was. And before they do the surgery, ask for another x-ray and that the ulcers would be gone completely and that it would astonish the doctors. And so I go, amen, in Jesus' name, amen. And everybody's like, okay. And so Jose's like, okay. And then we just go on and do the Bible study, talking about whatever. Well, it's the next, it's Wednesday night, and there was normally a youth group meeting. And he comes up to the church for the youth group meeting because he didn't have my phone number, but he knew I'd be there because I was helping out with the youth. And he says, Brad, you're not going to believe it. I go, well, the ulcers are gone. He goes, I went in and I asked, just like you said, I asked for the x-ray and they couldn't find any ulcers. The doctor said, what have you been eating this week? I said, what have you been doing? What happened? And he goes, he said, just as straight faced, he said, my friend at church prayed for me in the name of Jesus for the ulcers to go away. He said, well, you just keep that friend praying then because your ulcers are gone. You don't need surgery. They canceled the surgery. So he comes back. He tells me Wednesday because he's so excited. He comes back Sunday and now another meeting is hijacked. They're going, God actually healed the ulcers. And then they're like, hey, Brad, would you do a teaching on healing? And I'm like, I mean, I know three verses. Sure, I'll teach on healing. And so because they'd never seen God heal before, but God heals. He's a healer. Well, it's a couple of years later, and I'm in Mali, Africa, doing missions. I was over there for a season in a very Muslim part of the world, 99.9% Muslim. And I'm preaching. I was doing an outdoor preaching crusade, which wasn't what it sounds like. I just go around to different soccer fields and we'd set up a PA system and people would gather because I was the only white person they'd ever seen in their entire life. We were in a part of the world where that just white people weren't. And so people would come just to hear, what in the world is this guy doing here? Why is he here? Is he selling vacuum cleaners? Like, what is this guy doing? And so everywhere we'd go and set up this little, PA system with a generator, people would gather. Well, I'm preaching, and every time I'd preach, I always said, he's the God who forgives your sins, and he's the God who heals you. Jesus will heal you. He'll forgive you, and he'll heal you. I said, if you want prayer, come forward. Well, that night, afterwards, one of the guys who was working and helping me with interpretation, because I couldn't speak anything, the interpreter comes up to me. He says, hey, says the witch doctor's son is here. And he wants for you to pray for him. I go, come on, let's do it. And so this guy comes over, and in that culture, the witch doctor is called the marabu. And he said, my father is the marabu. I'm scared. He came up to me after the meeting, kind of secret out of the way, because he knew that if his father found out about this little meeting, it wouldn't go over well for him. And so he said, my father's the witch doctor. The father's the marabu. He said, you said that your Jesus heals. He said, I was born with infirmity in my back. I don't remember what word he used, brokenness, something. Infirmity in my back. From the time I was born, I have had constant back pain every second of my life. Even now, I'm constantly in pain. Well, of course, his father's the witch doctor. This dude is living under a curse from his birth, okay? He says, if you say your Jesus can heal, tell him to heal me. I said, well, listen, I'm going to pray, and Jesus is going to heal your back as a testimony to you that he's God and that you need to turn away from your false gods. You need to turn away from Muhammad, and you need to turn away from Allah, and you need to turn away from your father's teachings. You need to give your life to Jesus. Do you understand? He said, yeah, I understand. I said, he's going to heal you as a testimony to you that he is real and you need to give your life to him. He said, okay. So I prayed for him, something simple. you know, Father, heal this guy in the name of Jesus, fix his back, amen. I don't know, prayed something. He leaves. It's a couple days later. The interpreter comes up to me and he goes, hey, you remember the witch doctor's son? He said, yeah. He said, I found him. I was out walking down the street and I found him. He got healed. I go, what? He said, yeah, he got healed. He was so excited. He was so happy. I said, well, where is he? Let's talk to him. He goes, my guys, I got this. He's me. He says, I set up the appointment tonight at 7. And so we're meeting with the witch doctor's son that night at 7 o'clock. And I said, what happened? He said, as soon as you laid hands on me on his back, he said, I felt fire come through your hands. He said, my back was healed instantly. I haven't had pain since then. It's been days. He said, I've never had that happen before in my life. I've never gone an hour without pain. He said, it's real. Your Jesus healed me. And I said, good. I said, the purpose of this was to show you that he is God so that you'd give your life to him. Are you ready to give your life to Jesus? He says, I can't. My father's the marabout. He'll kill me. And so even in this moment where he knew it was God, there's still the decision to make. And he was unwilling to give his life to Jesus, even though he knew clearly. I mean, he was the one telling me, your Jesus is different than the voodoo hoodoo of the witch doctor. It's different than the power of Allah. It's different than culture. It's different than, your Jesus is the healer. But he wasn't willing to give his life to him. Well, one of these times just not long after that, it was one of the guys that was living in the compound that I found myself in, and his name was Pichu. And Pichu, one day, he had a fever. He was sick. He was achy. Maybe he had coronavirus, 0.0. And he's real hot. I mean, you could feel his head. He was real hot. He's sweating. He just looked like he was a mess. I don't know what he had, malaria or something. I don't know, but he was in a hard way. And he came, and he just looked really bad. And I said, hey, is it okay if I pray for you for healing? And he said, yeah. And I laid my hands on him and prayed for healing. And as soon as I did, he said that my hands got real hot. Now, I didn't feel that. My hands felt like normal hands in Africa hot, not hot, hot or something, okay? And so he said, as soon as you laid your hands on me, he said, I felt heat coming through your hands. It got really hot and my headache went away and the fever left me at that moment. And he started feeling better. It's not me. I'm just like you. It's him. It's engaging Jesus to be the healer. It's asking God to get involved in the lives of people, to touch them and to make a miracle happen in their life for them, for his sake, for his name. And God is willing to do this. I'd only known the Lord a couple of years. I don't know anything. I just believe that God will do it. And I'll share one last example with you, and I'll encourage you, and we'll get out of here. It was one of my roommates. I got back from Africa, and I'm get the house that Amy and I are now in. But before Amy and I were married, I had a couple of roommates. And one of the roommates, I share this story because it's just so like, it's so like Jesus to be willing to minister, not just to the greatest needs, but to the least needs, to the little stuff, to the daily stuff, to big things and little things. One day my roommate, he comes up and he was like walking past me. I was like, hey man, how are you doing? He goes, oh, and I go, what? What's the deal? He goes, I got couch neck. I go, what's couch neck? He said, you know, when you sit on the couch too much and your neck hurts. I go, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, couch neck. I go, well, let's pray right now. He goes, he looks at me kind of like, you think Jesus would heal couch neck? I go, I don't even know what couch neck is, but sure. I go, why not? I go, are you in pain? He said, yeah. I said, you got like a crick in your neck or something? He goes, yeah. I said, well, let's pray. I prayed in Jesus' name. Couch neck went away. He started doing like this with his shoulders. He goes, God even cares about couch neck. Listen, I share that story because I want you to know he cares about stubbed toes, sore throats, headaches. He cares about it all, as well as whatever would be bigger kind of stuff. Here's the thing. We just live with the ache. Just so, it's like we're carrying around all this extra weight that we could dump off. We're just so used to living with it. We're so used to, you know, going to modern medicine first. You know, going to the situation, just like we need to begin to engage the Lord and ask him to move in our lives because I want for you to have stories. Not only that, I want for your friends to be the ones that have the stories because you prayed for them. Why? Because it expands the kingdom. It expands the kingdom in you. It expands the kingdom in them. It expands the kingdom when the story's told later. The kingdom of God advances through the ministry of healing. And it's really simple because you don't have to do anything but pray for somebody. You got to believe. You got to engage faith. But you don't have to be cool or big or strong or wise or any of that. You just pray for people. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to start praying for everybody, every time. You see a sickness, you hear about a disease, something's out of whack, somebody twists their ankle, somebody's got a sore wrist, you know, somebody's got pray for it. Pray for it. Let's just start going after it. Let's just start asking God to heal people in the name of Jesus. Let's engage the kingdom and start watching God touch our friends, touch our family, touch our neighbors. And I'll give you two thought processes if you want some fuel for the fire. These were two things that I was doing in a great focus in those early years. Two things. I was reading books on healing, and I was reading Bible passages about healing. I was reading those Bible passages over and over. I was reading that James passage. I was reading the New Testament passages about healing and Jesus healing the disease and healing this. And one time he'd heal like this, he'd say, "You're healed." Another time he'd make mud and put it in their eye. Another time he'd do this. He would heal people. I just would read the passages about healing because I'd look at that and I'd go, this is real life. The Bible is true. My experience, the last 10 times I prayed for people and they didn't get healed, is a liar. The Bible is truth. So let's pray for the healing. Second thing I was doing is I was reading books. I was reading books because I wanted to hear stories like the ones I just told you. I wanted to hear stories to stir my faith. I loved the way that the late John Wimber, who was the leader of the Vineyard Movement, I loved the way that he talked about healing. He talked about it as one of the elementary things of the kingdom. He talked about the ministry of healing. He called it compassion ministry of Jesus. The compassion ministry of Jesus, the way to show compassion for a hurting person, get them healed. He talked about it as just so normal and loving, an expression of the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor, an expression of love in the kingdom, an expression of brotherly love, to pray for people to get healed and to extend that hand, to be the hand of Jesus and let the power of God flow through you, whether you feel it or not, and pray for healing. I want to encourage you, read testimonies, let the word of God sink deep into you, and get a revelation that Jesus is the healer. And then let's go do the stuff. Let's pray for people. I pray for everybody. Pray for the family member that's mad at you when you try to pray for them. Pray for the neighbor. Pray for the person in line at the grocery store. Pray for whoever, about whatever, and watch God begin to work. And then even as you kind of debrief with the Lord about what happens or doesn't happen, talk to the Lord about, Lord, how do you want me to handle this next time? What do you want me to do? I think the healing ministry of Jesus is an incredible way for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus by dialoguing with the Lord how to operate in his power.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.